Okay, ready, set, go.
That anybody who wants to restart at the beginning. And of course, that was only 9 months after I was conceived. Anyway, what I started a special care nursery at Cardinal Glenner Children's Hospital in 1963. And we were instrumental in, we helped invent the ventilator, we invented how to take blood pressure on premature babies. We were the ones that invented nutrition in the vein. We identified the need for magnesium, the need for zinc, the need for copper.
Wow.
And we did it with metabolic beds. We did every intake and output and did these things. So we were a leader in the field of neonatology. The hospital still is a leader in the field of neonatology. But then I had a baby, Joseph, in 1975, who had flat brain waves and was said to be brain dead. And it was suggested to stop treating him. I said, well, I don't do that. I treat babies, some live, some die, and kept treating him. And he did eventually get off the ventilator, and he went to school, and he got straight A's, and ran track and played baseball. And he's married, he has three children. So, because of him, after about 6 months, when he continued to live and was doing much better than anybody would have predicted, I started to investigate brain death. And it took about 2 years till I understood the language of brain death. Brain death is a lie. It's a lie that's been told over and over again, so people don't even realize it's a lie anymore. But it's been a lie from the beginning, continues to be a lie. So I published in the medical literature. I have an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association. I have an article in the Gonzaga Law Review. It's 85 pages, has 244 footnotes to it. Because of that, eventually I have continued to talk about brain death. Brain death is a lie. I have talked all over the United States. I've talked in many countries. The truth is easy, and then once you deviate from the truth, then you have first it's this false, but then when people become conscious of it's false, then it's a lie. Brain death is a lie. The way it occurred was that Christian Bernard did the first heart transplant in South Africa in 1967. Mm-hmm. 3 days later, they did the second heart transplant, and you don't know where that is, but I'll tell you. It was done in Brooklyn, New York, and what they did is they cut the beating heart out of a three-day-old baby and transplanted it into an 18-day-old baby. And at the end of their surgeries, a short time after the end of their surgeries, both of those babies were dead. It was illegal, it was immoral. And so they had to do something to make it legal. And so what they did is they set up a committee at Harvard, and the committee invented brain death. The committee did not do studies on dogs or cats or rats. They didn't collect data on human beings, they just invented brain death. Transplants, they have a designated requester, and a designated requester is usually a very nice person who dresses nice and befriends the relatives. Can I get you a cup of coffee? Oh, I know this has to be terrible on you. We'll do everything we can to help you. And all of that is part of getting them indoctrinated to get their to get their organs.
And I need to go take a shower.
See, and you cannot get any organs from a cadaver. Every organ that's transplanted is a healthy organ, and you can only get healthy organs from living persons. You cannot get any organs for transplant from a cadaver.
That's why you don't put it on your license.
And the things I'm telling you is that you are not allowed to hear. And because if you hear it, you will be upset, as you, all three of you, are upset. And rightly so, you should be upset, because whose organs do they want? They want the organs from the, certainly from all children, but especially the people who are 16 to 30, and their life is in jeopardy. If they're unconscious and on a ventilator, they're going to get their organs, and they do everything to get their organs. And once the organs are taken, you can't bring them back to life. And so that what they do is they tell the relatives, well, your daughter Sally would really like to do something good, and this is a way to make something good out of this tragedy, and or your son, and the while they have been getting organs from accidents and gunshot wounds, they now get more organs from overdose of drugs than they do from accidents and gunshot wounds combined. There are 8 deaths a day from overdose in Ohio, and they get their organs is what they want. And so what are they doing? They're giving the policeman the Narcan to counteract the drug, which gets them into the emergency room, but it doesn't save their life. It gets them in the emergency room, and they still get their organs. And so...
it's so diabolically disgusting.
Oh, it really is.
That
see, it's so bad.
Sense,
and
I can't
sense.
Even...
it's making sense.
Oh, my gosh.
It's making sense.
Yeah.
Now, part of why I... when you were on talking about unconscious and pain, and you might have talked about something else, what I'm encouraging you to do is to realize that there are common denominators of all of this. The common denominator is that each person is unique and unrepeatable and special, and a person is alive, but. So are the dogs and cats running around that are alive, and so are the trees alive, but they don't have the life that the person has, and each person has that life, whether that person can walk or talk or show consciousness. In brain death, they do only 3 things for brain death. One is the patient does not show consciousness. The patient does not have brainstem reflexes that involve the eye or the ear. So there's about 14 brainstem reflexes, but they test only 6. They don't test the others. And then the test that they do that is called the apnea test. It's really not a test, it's a procedure. And what they do is take the ventilator away for 10 minutes. And the patient has to demonstrate that they can take a breath in that 10 minutes, or that becomes the signal to cut out their organs. During the time they're off the ventilator, the carbon dioxide builds up, the acids build up, that makes the brain swell worse and makes them get worse. So everybody must learn, do not do an apnea test. You all must learn it now. And you have to know it. I hope you never have to use it on your relatives, but you need to learn it. Do not do an apnea test. No one should ever have the procedure of an apnea test. And then you have to know that the overdose of drugs, they need time to heal. You know, right now, and I got a text as I was coming in from the father of a girl in Canada, Takesha, McKitty, you can Google her if you want, Takesha McKitty. I was talking in New York, and I was going to New Jersey the next day, and they called me and asked me if I would help with Takesha. So I went to Canada to help her. She overdosed on September the 14th. On September the 20th, they issued a death certificate on her. She's still very much alive. She moves her feet. She moves her legs.
But she has a death certificate?
She has a death certificate. She has a death certificate on September the 20th, and this is December the 5th.
You know, and she's still alive?
She's still alive, yes. But
with a death certificate?
But she could have had her organs cut out on September the 20th, but by going
sure.
there, put a stop to that. So she was not dissected. Everybody who has their organs taken, they're all dissected alive. There's no organs you can get from a cadaver.
My wife will go crazy when she hears this, because she's donating her organs if she dies and has a car accident or anything.
Yeah, she should not be an organ donor. And so what she has to do, she must go back to the License Bureau and revoke that. And the law says it's a revocation. It's not a refusal, and they can still get her organs. And that law has been passed here in Ohio. So you ask, as we came in, have I been here before? Yes, I came here to testify against that law. And so then when they had hearings 2 weeks later, I came back again. And they said, we ordinarily don't allow people to testify more than once. Well, what is that kind of stuff? What kind of outfit do we have? So I didn't say anything, but then they said, but we'll let you testify because you're a doctor. And I think to myself, why should they let me testify versus anybody else more than once? But in the state of Ohio, every representative and every senator voted for the bill to make it so that everyone is an organ donor. And it's presumed that everyone is an organ donor, and it's presumed that everyone has consented to everything to be done to them to see if their organs are good for someone else and to keep their organs in good shape that they can find someone to give them to. It's really, I think it's against Article 13 of the Constitution of the United States, and I think it's against Article 8 of the Constitution of Ohio. I might have the 8 and the 13 mixed up between Ohio, but I think it's against the, because sorry about that. But the law, it's called the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act. It's already been passed in 47 states, including Ohio, and every representative in Ohio voted for it. Only one senator voted against it, and that was the black senator, because I think she might have heard what I said, that it's a form of slavery. They've made slaves of all of us. It's involuntary servitude, what they've done. And I think it's against the Constitution of our federal government and the Constitution of our state government. And so the law says, though, if you have signed up to be an organ donor and then you go back to the License Bureau, the law says that's a revocation, but it's not a refusal. You must have a document of refusal. Your wife must get a document of refusal. Now, you might say, and I don't know how old your wife is, but compared to me, she's just a kid, I'm sure. But
same as me, 75.
Just a kid. The oldest organ donor that I've read about was 91. They will take organs from anybody. It's just that they have class A organs. Those are 16 to 30. And then as you get further away from that with different age and different diseases, like they have taken organs from people with AIDS. Granted, they give them to other people with AIDS, but they're class B organs. They have class A organs, class B organs, and that kind of thing.
So that document of refusal, it has to be an authorized by an attorney that you presented to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles?
I'll give you something that you can do. Okay. I'll give you something that you can take with you. Now, the point about where your focus has been on vaccines, and rightly so, something stimulates you to become focused on that, whatever it is. And that's part of why I ask some of the questions I ask as to how you get involved. And I've told you a little bit about how I got involved. And I also told you I'm one of the leaders in neonatology for many years. And then because of this brain death thing, I've gotten off into paying attention to that and teaching people that about brain death. Brain death is a mendacity, and you might go home and look up the word mendacity. It's not a new word. And the first use of the word mendacity was around 1300, when it was used, at least that's what I found. And it had to do with some false religion. Mendacity means a lie, a deception, but it's a deliberate deception to mislead you. And that's why I think it's the best term for what brain death is. Everybody who's brain dead, everybody who's called brain dead has a beating heart, circulation, and respiration. If they didn't have that, you wouldn't have to call them brain dead. You could call them dead, but they're all alive. So, anyway.
Do you mind touching on your background?
What's that?
A little bit. Do you mind touching on your background a little bit, please?
My background?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I was born in Norwood, Ohio, and went to Xavier University in Cincinnati, and then I went to St. Louis University to medical school and trained as a pediatrician, took care of children with leukemia and tumors for about 6 years, and during that time saw how many infants died and there were no treatments. And so it seemed like we should be able to do something. I mean, I was at a children's hospital where we did things for children of all ages, but not infants. And so I started a special care nursery in 1963, continued there take care of babies, and then I went other places to do the same thing. So my wife and I have